Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Suderstrom, and you are listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and our commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Monday, April 7th, 2014. All morning long, they were bashing gold on the financial news programs, and I had to laugh at Dennis Gartman. He was on there. I'm not a gold bug. I'm not a gold bug. I'm a trader. Sometimes you own it, sometimes you don't. I don't want to be classified as a gold bug, but yet prior to Y2K, he was probably one of the biggest gold bugs out there. And he soon learned he couldn't weather any downturns in the market, and he turned into a financial trader, stock trader, and now they promote him. He is paraded all along the financial news programs, especially CNBC, to come on the program and talk negative about gold. Although once in a while, he will say some good things about it. But gold did try today to be up $1,297. We did breach $1,300, a high of $1,303. So we're down $570. $570 for gold at $1,297.60. Same thing with silver. Silver was over $20. But she's just lightly on the line at $19.99, at down 7 cents. Platinum was down $22 today at $14.32, and palladium also down $22. Yeah, how's that happen? And you don't believe that these markets aren't rigged. How do you get $22 down on both at the same time, leading to palladium down 2.80%, 2.80%. at $770. And I was surprised to see platinum down, because all morning long when they were bashing gold, they were talking high of platinum, talking about how China will eventually address their pollution problem, and they will need platinum and palladium in order to do so. So therefore, but I think it was more of a, I think palladium was more of a Russian play than China, because I don't think China really gives a hoot about their pollution, you know, until people start falling over. But then again, they have a big population anyway. So the markets today, the paper markets today, you had stocks fell for a third straight day. And, of course, it was led by the big decline in the NASDAQ, the Dow, and the S&P. Now the NASDAQ has turned down for the year to date. But the S&P, we're going to be talking about that here in just a few moments. But the Dow was down 166 points at 16,245. The NASDAQ was down over 1%, which makes it between 4 and 5% for the last 4 days. NASDAQ 4,079 and the S&P was down 20, also over 1%. All three markets were down over 1%, with the NASDAQ getting hit the hardest at 18.45 and the 10-year yield today 2.70 at 0.03. And the USDX today was also down. I forgot to mention that earlier. Was down 0.19 at 80.22 along with crude oil down 60 cents but still at 100.55. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Melody.
Oh, am I talking now? Is this a,
say what?
Is this an alien?
No, you said, I don't know, the way you were talking, I don't know, I wasn't sure if you were just joking or making fun of the fact that I have a little bronchitis.
I
thought I'd give it right back to you.
Would make fun of that.
Huh?
I would never make fun of that.
Yes, you would.
No, I wouldn't.
You might not admit it, but I don't doubt that you'd do it from time to time.
Only if you were squeaky, then I might make a
squeaky?
Little squeaky.
Okay. I don't see myself as being squeaky particularly, but...
what wasn't squeaky was the U.S., again, I mentioned that the stocks fell sharply today, and the S&P is on track for its biggest three-day drop in 2 months. What I find interesting is the markets, the financial news programs, tend to focus on the S&P more so than the NASDAQ. And they haven't been talking much about the big drop in NASDAQ. It's kind of like they just want the NASDAQ and the tech companies just to go away. Just go away. We don't want to talk about you. We're going to focus on the S&P.
Well, what's the difference between the S&P and NASDAQ?
Well, the NASDAQ is really a tech-heavy. It's very tech-heavy. And so you can have some big changes in the tech stocks, and they can have quite an impact on it. And that's why when we had the tech boom, the dot-com bubble back in the end of during the 90s, and we had the big crash, you had the NASDAQ actually reach 5,000, which is yet to regain that level. And I actually thought they would hit that number before they actually pulled the plug on the NASDAQ, but, you know, we'll see.
How does Standard & Poor's compare to the Dow Jones?
Well, the Dow Jones is just 30 companies.
And NASDAQ is 500.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you can say that you have more investors in the S&P. No, in the NASDAQ. The S&P 500, you said the NASDAQ.
Which do you think is a more reliable economic indicator and less susceptible to manipulation?
None of them.
None of them. Can't do it, can I? I just can't get you to come and give me an answer. It's either both of them. I think both of them or none of them.
I mean, you can tell in today's markets. I mean, the market dropped and it stayed there all day long. They tried to claw it back after 3 o'clock. Actually, the Dow was actually like about 116, which I don't think down 166 points is any big deal.
I don't either.
And on any of them, you have a 3-4 day down on these, which, you know, adds up to 3-4%. Can get a little bit heavier, but I mean, really, we haven't seen, you know, once the Dow gets down to 10,000, then I'll take notice of the drops, but it could drop to 15,000. I don't think it's any big deal. But I believe the Dow has the biggest psychological factor of them all.
See, that's why I think there may be different degrees of manipulation. I think the Dow is more easily manipulated simply because there's only 30 stocks that have to be controlled. 500 stocks in the Standard & Poor's, you know, it takes a lot more effort to control 500 stocks in a way, you know, the majority 500 stocks, the most important 500 stocks. It just seems like that would manipulation there would be a little harder to achieve. Manipulation of 30, not so hard.
Also, I believe if you have that many stocks, it's easier to cover up your manipulations too versus
might be
few. But I think the most psychological impact, the one that makes people happy, is the Dow. And of course, maybe that is because of it is easier to keep at the levels. And it's a bigger number. And people relate to the bigger numbers. Ooh, it's 16,000, 17,000.
That must be better than 4,000?
Must be better.
Okay. All right, what's next?
I wasn't ready for you to say what's next. Now, the Senate bill.
Okay, what's previous?
The Senate is expected to pass a bill to extend the federal jobless benefits for more than 2 million unemployed workers through May 31st. Last month, Boehner called the bill essentially unworkable because state administrators complained it would be tough to carry it out in such a short period of time. But I think they'll get it done if they want to be reelected this year. So if the deal passes Congress, it would throw another financial lifeline to those who've been scrambling to get by since federal jobless benefits lapsed the week of December 28th. And, of course, they would be paid for they would be paid all the way back to December 28th through, I guess, May 31st. And they would have to decide again once more if they're going to pass a bill to extend it at that point in time. The Senate deal would fund federal jobless benefits through the end of May, and it does include the back payments of missed unemployment checks. The long-term unemployed now total about 2.3 million is their number, including those who have run out of state unemployment benefits. And, of course, we all know that these benefits are usually administered by the states, but I guess the states just don't have the money to do so.
I think the reality is the federal government doesn't have it either, even though the sum might not be a great deal per se. How much money did you think they wanted to provide, add to the long-term unemployed benefits?
I didn't think I said, but they're looking, you're probably looking about a $9 billion measure.
It's not peanuts. But on the other hand, it's not that big a deal exactly either.
And
I think they're just so stressed financially, I think they're disinclined to extend any more money right now, with the possible exception of raising salaries for congressmen and senators, of course, because, you know, they do so much for so many that it's only fair that they be paid more. But other than them, I think they're prepared to let people go without more money. And I think it's partly the same reason all we can do with Russia, for example, is protest the seizure or the annexation of the Crimea with rhetoric. I think we're broke. And I think we're at least stressed. I think the government is stressed to a point where it's gun-shy about spending more money, more currency. And we'll watch and see whether that turns out to be true or false, but just feeling.
Which is a very dangerous position to be. I mean, it's a very dangerous place to be if they're eliminating and not doing what they need to do because we're broke.
Well, I don't know if they need to do it or not, but they need to do it if they want to keep buying people's votes. If the government runs out of money and can no longer afford to subsidize all the people whose votes they need, they're going to see the people turn on the government. There's going to be some fundamental question, what have you done for me lately? And if it's nothing much, they're going to vote the incumbents out. There's going to be a problem for the existing government as people say, hey, you're not, you know, where's my handout? Where's my free lunch? You're not delivering.
Well, if we're to the point where we're broke, which I think we are broke, we've been in bank, you know, we've been
since
bankrupt.
1971 or before.
I was going to say we've been bankrupt for a very long time.
Yeah.
But there's other obligations and so forth, other than just the what they dole out, that would bring far more severe consequences to everyone.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this has been a bizarre, irrational, an arguably wicked game that they've played in Washington since at least 1971. They went off the gold standard and they thought they could just deceive everyone. We would be smart and we would be clever and we would fool the people into thinking that the dollar has value when it does not. Or at least fool the people into thinking it had an exaggerated value, which was simply not the case. And now they are the basis for that, or the bases for that illusion, they're kind of disappearing. You know, we see this happening in Russia, or especially not just in Russia, but in regard to the conflict, the current conflict with Russia. Russia's just going to stop taking dollars. That's all. You know, it was the classic, just incredible idiocy. I don't know what they're thinking about. They may have an ulterior motive. I mean, the people, the Obama administration, they may have some ulterior motive, but it was classically stupid for them to pick a fight with Russia. Russia is the single biggest oil-producing nation in the world. Up until recently, Russia has continued to accept U.S. dollars as payment for its crude oil. We have a dollar whose only value for the last 40 years has been its ability, its status as the world's petrocurrency, the petrodollar. It was implicitly backed by crude oil because people had to have it to purchase crude oil on the international market. That's what gave the dollar value. That laid the foundation for the dollar being the world reserve currency. And now our government is going to pick a fight with the world's number one petroleum-producing nation and force them to start taking currencies other than the dollar, which will only diminish the perceived value of the dollar. And if other nations follow Russia's lead, it could even cause a dramatic devaluation in the perceived value of the dollar. And we're going to do all this for what? What are they thinking about? Are the people, is everybody in Washington on pot or cocaine? Isn't there anybody up there that's got a brain in their head, or do they have some ulterior motive that leads them to think they want to destroy the dollar? Whatever's going on, it appears entirely possible that we could see something in the next 90 days, a dramatic devaluation of the dollar in the next 90 days, at least in relationship to foreign currencies. Devaluation doesn't necessarily have to take place in this country immediately, but it'll follow. We'll get it here, even if it takes place all overseas initially. It'll still come back here. It'll be here quick enough. I don't know. They got to be nuts. They've got a suicide wish or something like that? I don't know. What's going on in Washington, Melody? Are they all crazy or just a majority?
Well, it's the perfect scapegoat for them.
It's pretty good, but it's not that good. I mean, this is not a hard
for the American people
scam to understand. Yeah,
for the American people. All those nasty Russians.
The American people aren't into. Oh, they can try that, but you know, the American people are—they act in a way that's apathetic, but they don't necessarily fail to understand what's happening. They kind of let it happen because they don't think there's much that they can do. They have a wait-and-see attitude. But they actually have a pretty good grasp of what's going on, I think. A lot of them. This is a third, half of them. Half of them at most. Maybe a third is being more likely estimate. But a lot. It's not just a handful. A lot of people get it, but they don't see anything to do about it, and for the moment they stay disengaged. But the day may be coming when Obama's going to have to run some sort of a, you know, another cock and bull story at the American people. And if we are in enough of a financial bind where people are genuinely hurting, people won't buy it. People sit back, no, I know what you've been doing, Obama. I know what you and the rest of the people up there in government have been doing. You've been selling us right down the river. Hard to say where this is all going to shake out, but it's degrading in a way that is at least potentially rapid. The problems we see, and we'll talk about them a little more when we get into the next part of the program. We'll talk about what's going on in Russia, but this is building up, and it may be catching steam, and if it is, there's going to be big changes in the near future. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be right back. Stay tuned.
have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thethreews.thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
It's like I'm here with a different guest.
I think it's an alias.
Oh.
I think it's an improvement, but takes a little getting used to.
But I just want to remind the listeners, tomorrow we have David Krieger joining us from Hopson, from the Hopson Group. He will be here, the guest. We're going to be talking about the 5 million silver eagles, 5.3 million silver eagles that were sold in March, an incredible number. And already this month we're close to a million, so some high numbers in silver. Somebody's buying them. I don't think it's the mom and pops out there that are buying those kind of numbers on silver eagles, but there's someone big in there buying up the silver. So I find that interesting.
And there's someone big up there who's giving it away. And rather than letting a large demand cause the price to go up, they're still holding the price down. They're making it possible for someone to purchase precious metals at really a reduced price.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time until the price pops.
Mm-hmm.
I believe.
Yeah.
And even gold is doing fairly good this month already. I certainly will be beating last month. It's interesting because all that money went into silver instead of gold, but you're seeing gold really increase from the bullion on the bullion side, and of course you now have the U.S. Mint, who is now producing the platinum eagles, the American Eagle platinum coins, and so those are also available. Silver Eagles, 275 over spot, 500 plus, includes shipping. And if you buy three or more boxes, we'll even give you a little bit lower price than that 275. But you must give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Al?
I was just thinking the silver market is interesting because it's thinner than the gold market, if I understand correctly. And that means it is subject to manipulation more easily.
Absolutely.
And what we see right now is if it's true that people are taking advantage and the price is being held down artificially so that some people can take advantage of these low prices, and who they are could be anyone from China to central banks. I don't know who's buying all that silver. We'll find out tomorrow. But the implication is that the people who are buying anticipate that the price of silver is going to go up dramatically in the near future. With a thin market, that can happen from natural, from free market forces. It can also happen from the forces of manipulation. But if it's not mom and pop, it's not the average American who's buying those 5 million ounces of silver, then it really does sound like someone is getting ready to see silver jump dramatically. Someone with a lot of money and presumably a lot of intelligence, and I don't just mean smarts, I mean intelligence in the sense of having information, they believe the price of silver is going to jump significantly in the near future.
And it will.
Huh?
We were talking about the Russia. I don't know if you wanted to continue on that.
Yeah, it's an important concept. It's kind of a lengthy little article we've got here from ZeroHedge.com. U.S. threatens Russia over petrodollar busting deal. That's the headline. And it reads in part, on the heels of Russia's potential holy grail gas deal with China, the news of a Russian-Iran oil barter deal is causing the government great deal of consternation. The U.S. has warned Russia and Iran against a possible oil barter deal. And Greg Hunter talked about this last week when he was on, I believe, Wednesday. 500,000 barrels of oil per, what is it? Let me look at it. I don't have that right in front of me right now. $20 billion deal, and I can't remember what the time frame is on 500,000 barrels of crude oil going from, on a regular basis, to Russia from Iran. And it translates into an enormous amount of money, particularly to Russia, who will accept oil and trade for goods with Iran, Russian goods for Iranian oil. Russia is already the world's number one producer of crude oil. Now, why would they be accepting oil? You know, if I were the world's, I don't know, number one producer of air conditioners, what would my reason be for accepting payment from someone else in air conditioners? All right? They want to buy some of my other goods and services. They want to buy a car from me. Why would I take air conditioners from these people if I already make them myself? It's a strange situation, and it does not bode well for the government and for the United States currency. And it's what we talked about earlier in the program. The United States, the perception of value for the United States dollar is based largely, since 1971, it's been based on the presumption that you had to have dollars to buy crude oil on the international market. Now, that perception has been diminishing, and right now the dollar is still used for 80% of the transactions that take place in international commerce, but 15 years ago it was probably more like 95%, maybe higher than that. As the dollar is used less and less for petroleum, to purchase petroleum, or just in standard international transactions, people are going to be standing around holding that piece of paper in their hand and can say, wait a second, number one, I don't need this. I can transact my business in terms of Swiss francs or euros or whatever. I can find another currency. I can use rubles. I can use yuan. Rupees. We can do business. They don't need dollars. And then when they realize they don't need them, they're going to also say, you know, now that I look at it, this is just a fancy piece of paper. But it is intrinsically no different from monopoly money. And as a result, why am I holding on to this monopoly money? Maybe it would be a good idea to get back to send this back to Parker Brothers and get some sort of redeem my paper monopoly money for, who knows, something tangible, you know, like a top hat or one of those little cars or whatever it is you use to play the game of Monopoly. But this is a dangerous situation, and it flows from the United States pressure on Russia and threats with economic sanctions. And Russia is simply saying, fine. You know, they start out with this article starts out talking about on the heels of Russia's potential holy grail gas deal with China. You read this, you understand that Russia and China are working closely in concert to diminish the value of the United States dollar. This isn't just, we hear about Russia. Putin is content and perhaps even eager to be the poster boy for this conflict, right? Which isn't necessarily smart, but he's doing it. Everybody says, oh my gosh, Russia's doing it. Russia is following China's lead. China prefers to do things from back in the shadows where nobody notices what China's up to exactly. Putin wants to get out and lead the parade. Well, the important point is that Russia and China are working together, and it appears that they are working aggressively to try to take down the dollar and at least remove it from its status as world reserve currency. If they can do that, you know, the dollar is going to, the devalue will fall dramatically. Price of gold will rise significantly. We can anticipate that. What kind of chaos causes in this country is unknown. But we are at a very, very strange and difficult position right now in the world where there might be big trouble headed our way in the next 60 to 90 days. Not impossible. Not necessarily true, but not impossible. Here's an article from the Voice of Russia entitled, Russia Prepares to Attack the Petrodollar. That's the headline. And Voice of Russia says the U.S. dollar's position as the base currency of global energy trading gives the U.S. a number of unfair advantages. It seems Moscow is ready to take those advantages away. The existence of petrodollars is one of the pillars of America's economic might because it creates a significant external demand for American currency, allowing the U.S. to accumulate enormous debts without defaulting. If a Japanese buyer wanted to buy a barrel of Saudi oil, he has to pay in dollars, even if no American oil company ever touches the said barrel. In other words, the world has been paying tribute, effectively. By use of dollars, they've been paying tribute to the United States, and particularly the government of the United States. The article continues. It says dollar has held a dominant position in global trading for such a long time. But even Gazprom's natural gas contracts for Europe are priced and paid in U.S. dollars. Gazprom, of course, is the Soviet supplier of natural gas. Wow, they've been taking U.S. dollars, Russia. And Obama and his genius, the genius Obama, said, let's get them. Given that we have a dollar that's as fragile as it is, and it is only supported by the illusion that it's the world's petrodollar, you got to be crazy to attack an oil-producing nation. Because inevitably you force that nation to stop taking dollars. And to whatever extent that happens, the value of the dollar has to be diminished. Until recently, a significant part of the European Union-China trade had been priced in dollars. Lately, China has led the BRICS. That's Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. China has led the BRICS to dislodge the dollar from its position as the main global currency. But the sanctions war between Washington and Moscow gave an impetus to a long-awaited scheme to launch the petroruble and switch all Russian energy exports away from U.S. currency. We are forcing them to do what they wanted to do. They wanted to bump the dollar off Obama is forcing them to work at that even harder than they had in the past. Valentina Matvienko, the Speaker of Russia's upper house of parliament, said some hot-headed decision-makers have already forgotten that the global economic crisis of 2008 started with a collapse of certain credit institutions in the United States, Britain, and other countries. This is why we believe that any hostile financial actions are a double-edged sword, and even the slightest error will send the boomerang back to the Aborigines. Number one, I think by Aborigines, Ms. Matvienko apparently means the United States, referring to us as Aborigines, or perhaps she means the U.S. government, or maybe the Obama administration, or maybe President Obama himself. I mean, it's an interesting metaphor, a boomerang back to the Aborigines. Well, one way or another, she's talking about somebody in America that she regards as an Aborigine. But she's correct that the last crisis of 2008 started with the collapse of certain credit institutions in the U.S., Great Britain, and other countries, and this is why they believe that hostile financial actions are a double-edged sword, and even the slightest error will send the boomerang, in other words, back to the Aborigines, which means, insofar as Obama started this mess with the Soviets, he'd be dumb. This is going to come back. The boomerang is coming back to hit the Aborigine. Igor Sexton, CEO of Rosneft, which is a Russian petroleum industry leader, he says the CEO has been nominated for chair of board of directors of St. Petersburg Commodity Exchange. He called for a Russian commodity exchange where reference prices for Russian oil and natural gas will be set in rubles instead of dollars. And if this happens, it'll be a strong blow to the petrodollar. Rosneft has recently signed a series of big contracts for oil exports to China and is close to signing a jumbo deal with Indian companies. In both deals, there are no U.S. dollars allowed. You understand? What we're talking about is evidence of a domino-like situation. We're not just talking about maybe Russia's going to give up on the dollar. We're not just talking about maybe China's going to give up on the dollar. We are talking about the possibility that a multitude of nations, a number of nations, not necessarily a multitude, but a number of nations are going to back away from the dollar. The dollar can't easily take that kind of heat. Reuters reports that Russia is close to entering a goods for oil swap transaction with Iran that will give Rosneft around 500,000 barrels of oil per day. That's what I was looking for earlier. $500,000 of oil to sell in the global market. So Iran, which may be impeded by certain blockades from selling its crude oil to the world directly, could sell it apparently to Russia. Russia will turn around and sell it to the world and will probably sell it for currencies other than dollars. When the dollar is no longer effectively backed, we don't need it to buy petroleum. What is its value? And the government is going to tell you, well, the full faith and credit of the American people. That's what gives it the value. Well, you go ahead and look around and tell me what that full faith and credit is worth. No. You may have an idea on that is more optimistic than my own, but given the problems we have in this country and the problems the dollar has and the problems the government has, I think everybody ought to be walking on eggshells right now because we are getting close to a very serious potential problem. This is real. This is not just, you get a lot of conspiracy theories. This is way beyond mere conspiracy theory. We'll watch and see if this can be contained or if this continues to develop. Expand, perhaps even explode. I'm Alfred Addis, here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. We'll be right back in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here on, what is this again? Financial Survival? Is that the name of the program, Melody?
Mm.
Oh, I'm here with Melody Cedarstrom. And what's
glad,
next,
I'm glad you. I'm glad you knew me. I'm glad you remembered. Must be that age thing, Al.
Yeah, well, I was just talking to Ralph, a friend of mine. He's 70, and I'll be 69 in another couple of weeks. And just talking to Ralph, I like to tease him because he's a year older than I am. Mm. And he has memory problems. See, I don't have, being a youthful 68, nearly 69.
Well, I've been,
he has far more
track.
Memory problems than I have at my age. He's an old guy.
I've been keeping track. Ow.
Eddie, yeah.
We were talking about Russia prior to the break, and Ukraine today was, they had a payment due to pay $2.2 billion of debt to Russia's Gazprom. And Ukraine's PM has called the new gas prices unacceptable and purely political, which sounds like it doesn't seem like they want to pay it or going to pay it.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot deliver gas for free, so they need to pay off the debt. They also need to pay for 100% of current supplies, adding that the situation cannot continue
indefinitely. That's the Russians.
Indefinitely.
The Russians are saying the Ukrainians have to pay off. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Now, even though they do have a rocky payment history, and in past, Moscow has turned off the pipes, cutting off the supplies to Europe. But it's a little bit different this time. You're going to have this standoff, and we'll have to see if this is it's
you
just
know what they call that, Melody?
Pardon?
You know what they call that? A Ukrainian standoff.
Is that what you call it?
Uh-huh. It's like a Mexican standoff in this country. Down there, they have Ukrainian standoffs. But truth of the matter is, we're just seeing the pressures rising from a number of different sides at the same time. The problem we see with Russia and the United States is not isolated. We see similar problems coming out of China. And we're going to see, and now the Ukraine is doing whatever they've got to do to stir things up, and the Russians are trying to mess with the Ukrainians by raising crude oil prices or natural gas prices. And everybody,
you know,
no one can simply pull in their horns and say, enough. Let's try to do this in a reasonable manner. Everybody's got to bury the knife in somebody else's back. And how is that going to work out?
And it just seems like no one really cares here. It's like they're so focused. You know, they're trying to get these trade agreements done, trying to get the Trans-Pacific and the Transatlantic treaties completed. I mean, those are so secret. You know, the negotiating has been secret. You don't know much what's going on there. They're more focused about, Washington is more focused about the U.S. corporations, how they can get footholds in all these countries,
yep,
and immunity, than worrying about what's going to happen to this country. And should they drop the petrodollar and what happens when our dollar devalues? They're more worried about Wall Street and their Dow and their money than
people.
People.
Main Street. They're more worried about Wall Street than they are about Main Street. They're more worried about the super rich. They are more the super elite. They're more worried about the oligarchy than they are people who actually work for a living in this country. And the results show.
And I get that. Probably most countries are like that, Al. But
we haven't been to the same extent, at least not as obviously as maybe that might be true in other countries, but it hasn't been true in this country, at least not to the degree that is becoming apparent.
Yes.
If we've been for sale for the last 100 years to the rich, all right, fine, maybe so. But at least they kept that sale secret. Now they don't even make a secret of it. They're essentially just saying, yeah, we're going to sell out to the rich. We're going to destroy the nation. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and they use the citizens' money to do it.
Yeah, I understand, which raises... This raises an important question, seeing as April 15th is coming up. One of the statistics that will be very interesting, you know, we follow the government, and the government, we follow the statistics. What's the unemployment rate this month? Did they create as many jobs or not as many jobs as were expected? We watch all of these numbers, and they give us more or less confidence in the economy and in the government's capacity to administer the economy. But it's all about confidence, all right? What do the numbers mean, and will they inspire confidence in all the people out there in TV land, or will they inspire a lack of confidence? Well, what's going to happen April 15th when we find out how many people are actually filing income tax this year? How much income is going to be reported? Will there be any numbers where we can get accurate figures on whether or not people are just saying, I'm not paying. Sorry. You understand? Don't have it. Can't pay. Goodbye. Give you a call if I get anything, if I get a job or whatever.
No,
I'll give you a call.
I think what they're not paying is for Obamacare. They're not getting health insurance. They'll pay their taxes first, but they won't pay Obamacare.
I don't think we're going to find... I don't think we'll get an answer, but it would be something to look for, just to see if there's a significant change in the amount of money that's being sent to Washington by April 15th as compared to last year or the year before and so on. Is there a significant decline, and can it be attributed only to changes in the economy, or will we see a decline that becomes evidence, if you think about it, that some people are just saying, nope, not going to pay this anymore. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it.
Well, I don't think that.
And if we don't see it this year, I'm not going to be surprised if we do see it one year or another before this is done.
No, I don't foresee that happening because most people don't, you know. But we do have a caller. We have Joe from Arkansas. I don't know if he's still on the line or not.
Yes, I'm here, Melody. Yeah.
All right.
Hello?
Yes, Joe. Go ahead, Joe. You got a question us or a comment?
Yeah. I had this comment I wanted to make on the things that you're talking about today. And that's this. Okay, it seems to me that if Vladimir Putin can bring down the petrodollar, I can see how it would cause a crisis in this country that would make things real uncomfortable for Americans for a while. But I can also see how it might work out in the end, eventually, to be a really good thing for the world and for Americans. And here's why. Okay, because... seems to me like the New World Order has been enforced on the world, you know, mostly by the economic and military power of the United States. And so if we lose the strength of the petrodollar, you know, and America is not able to be the world policeman so much, enforcing the New World Order on all the countries all over the world, then that might give a chance for nationalism and independence to kind of spring up in many countries all around the world and get and strengthen themselves, you know, so that we wouldn't have this central world tyranny so much anymore, enforced by the United States economic and military power. So that would be one good result of this, I can possibly see. And the other thing is that it might force these slime worms that run our government to think about how we can become a productive country again that makes things and earns money rather than borrowing our way to some sort of pseudo semblance of prosperity. And so I'm thinking that could work out to be a good thing, and you know, we might get work and productivity back in this country again. So anyway, if you all have any comments on that point of view, you know, I'd be interested in hearing it.
Are you there, Al?
Sorry, I had to hit my mute button to cough. I'm trying to clear my throat a little bit. Like I said, I have a little bronchitis. But in response to Joe's questions, if the dollar falls, right, petrodollar, we lose more of the perceived value and the dollar's value declines. That's going to make American products more competitive around the world because they'll be able to buy things. When the dollar is cheaper, we're selling things for $1,000 here. When the dollar loses 70 or 30% of its value, it's the equivalent of selling it overseas for $700. Maybe a poor analogy, but in any case, the point is it will tend to support the reindustrialization of this country. People say, hey, what, if we could buy, we can buy heavy equipment that's made by Caterpillar in this country or by somebody in China or somebody in Germany, and their currencies are worth more than ours, then people will tend to buy products from the United States. But that's not going to happen the first afternoon after the dollar goes through a significant devaluation. It'll happen, and there is the silver lining in this. That's true. He's exactly right. We'll probably meddle less in the affairs of foreign countries, and our own products will become more competitive, but we will also be less able to import. And not necessarily a bad thing. You know, instead of importing wine from some foreign country, we may have to make do with whatever we can grow here in Texas or California or whatever. We may have to go to domestic varieties. In the end, it may compel us to become once again independent. And so Joe is correct. This can be a good thing. But it's not going to be a good thing the first month or the first 6 months or maybe even the first year. It's going to take a couple of years for the benefit of a significant devaluation to amp up our economy where people start singing happy days are here again. So.
But then again, if you talk about a currency revaluation here in for the petrodollar, and you talk about global trade and the manipulation of currencies, and in order to stem the manipulation in which everyone believes there will be some sort of a currency tag to where all the currencies will be together to stop the manipulation of currencies to where they're all kind of valued and maybe trade within a range, that means all world currencies will basically be competitive to one another. So therefore, the having a lower currency won't have the same impact after that as it would like in circumstances today. Now, it will help, agreed. But I'm not so sure just by having the dollar revalue, if it's really going to wipe out global trade, and is our currency going to drop low enough to compete with the wages in China and so forth?
I think I've heard people say that we're already competitive with China.
When you factor in the cost of living and everything.
Not just cost of living, the cost of moving goods produced in China all the way across the Pacific Ocean. You add that to the cost of producing goods over there, and you compare it to the cost. The United States has increased the number of robots we use in this country significantly. And it's by means of producing products with robots that we're able to be as cost effective as Chinese. They overpower problems with manpower. We have one man doing the work of who knows, 5 or 10 Chinese people, just because he's backed up by robots. Now, the problem with that is we are more cost effective in terms of the number of people we actually have working to produce things. But what happened to the other four or five people who used to work on the American assembly line? Where do they go for work? You know, we are on one level competitive with China, but we are not competitive with them in terms of keeping people employed. Robots are putting people on the couch. And, you know, it's just one more of these problems that we can see. We talk about, you see the leaves in the breeze periodically, and we wonder what's happening, what's going on in the world, and we catch a leaf in the breeze, and we get it. It gives us a clue to which way the wind is blowing. We keep seeing more and more leaves in the breeze. Right? And it's not just because this is the fall season. It's more a matter of the breeze is picking up, and the breeze is blowing harder, and it's knocking more leaves off the trees, and so we see more leaves, you know, passing our window. And I think we have to wonder, what is the strength of that wind, and how strong is it going to get? And are we looking at, you know, are we just looking at us, you know, a little March comes in like a lion and goes out like a lamb? Is it just windy because that's the time of year it is? Or are these forces behind the wind growing in a way that becomes dangerous to all of us? And I think the answer is, the force of the wind is rising. We have something akin to the perfect storm. We see what's happening in China. We see what's happening in Russia. We see what's happening in Syria and the Middle East. And the United States is pulling in its horns and unable to, you know, push people around the way it did just 5 years ago. All of these things put together, you know, again, they form something like a constellation of problems. We're not facing just one significant problem. If we had one problem, we could deal with it. One way or another, we can deal with it. But when we have a multitude of problems, it's as if we're being attacked by a pack of wolves.
Actually,
and they're coming at you from 360 degrees, and which one do you fight?
Actually, we do have one problem now. It's our currency. That is the problem, and they will never address that.
Well, they'll address it when it finally collapses. They'll address it. They'll have some cock and bull story to explain it, but the truth is, it was a kind of madness from the beginning, and it's only now beginning to become apparent even to average Americans. They're going to begin to see this. They're going to begin to understand it. When they do, they're going to say, what the heck were you guys in government thinking about? We'll inquire more into what the government was thinking about tomorrow when Melody and I and who's our guest?
David Krieger.
There's
we'll that
be
memory.
Back tomorrow. Please stay and tune. I remember things that I need to remember.
Yeah. Thank you, Al.
We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
Seems to be a single penny left for me.